The heart. The heart, yes, is a bodily organ. We today know its function, right? What does the heart do? Anyone? What's the heart do? It pumps the blood through the entire body, without which the body really couldn't function. It spreads nutrients. It spreads oxygen. Am I getting it all that I need to say? There's probably much more. But it's funny how this particular organ is spoken of in a lot of other different ways, isn't it? What's probably the most familiar way in which we talk about the heart, you know, as being a part of life? The heart is what? The seat of the emotions. My heart beats for you. When we experience loss, what do we say? A broken heart. Or when bad things happen, my heart fell. Or when good things happen, my heart soared, right? Feelings, indeed. We talk about the heart as being kind of at the center of things, isn't it? Let's get to the heart of the matter. The heart is spoken of. Can anybody else think of other things? Contribute to this sermon, if you will. Other ways in which we talk about the heart. Anyone?
Have a heart.
Have a heart. Care. Anyone else?
Doing it with all your heart.
Doing it with all your heart. Not half-hearted. Oh boy, whenever I think of that, when I think of Brother Verlin. You know, Brother Verlin, who literally had kind of half a heart. I mean, not, it wasn't half, but I mean, it only functioned halfway. And he said, be careful how you use that phrase, because some of us are living it. Yeah.
In the news last night, they said that it's been verified that you can die of a broken heart.
You can die of a broken heart. Wow.
Because your resistance is so low when you use the mind.
Yeah.
We learned that too in the grief session.
Yes.
The real physical changes when you're grieving. You need other people to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And to remember to give heartfelt thanks for the good memories of people you've lost.
Heartfelt. Not it's sort of like the half-hearted. You say something half-hearted. Oh, you're really good. But don't really mean it, do we? Any others?
Heart attack.
Heart attack. Yeah, well, that's a literal heart attack. Or we talk about actually something else that's happening in the body, and we call it heartburn, right? And that heartburn may be physical, but it also may be something that happens that really gets us upset. You know, when we memorize something, we don't say, I got it by brain. No, we say what? I know it by heart. All this we wrap up into a bodily organ. It's sort of at the center of all things in our body. Without which, I mean, I suppose we can do without certain parts of our body. I mean, without the brain, well, you know. But we endow the heart with so much. It is central to who we are. Not just as a physical organ, but when we talk about the heart, we are getting to the heart of who we are. You know, one of the key persons in the beginning of our denomination was a fellow by the name of Alexander Mack. He had a symbol that I guess whenever he signed his name or whatever, he kind of put it on the paper. It was kind of his sign. But anyways, it was the cross with a heart in the middle. Of course, it was a little bit more than that, and I'll get to this in a minute. But it was sort of getting across the point that our faith has to include the heart. and all that the heart means to us. There needs to be a warmth to our faith. I mean, when something is cold, what do we call it? It's heartless, right? There needs to be a warmth to our faith. It needs to be on fire, right? Now, I know that the blood is the color red, but, you know, the color of the heart is red when we use it as a symbol for other reasons. Because the red sort of signifies a little bit of fire. Of course, fire has different colors, but at its heart, it is red, right? Our practice of the faith needs to be heartfelt, needs to be at the center of who we are. That's really always been the case. In Jeremiah's day, the people, if you read the entire book, the people had lost heart in a lot of different ways. Their faith was not heartfelt. They're just kind of going through the motions. They were lackluster. They did things because, well, I guess we should. Or they listened, but they didn't do what God said. And they broke God's heart. Can God's heart be broken? It's a good question. The process of this prophecy, we hear God's people being ripped themselves, their heart being broken, torn. An outside nation, you know, we can look at history and we can see how a major power in that day came and tore apart the nation and took its people into exile. But there in the exile came God's heartfelt word of promise. God's forgiveness. God's restoring and returning promise. I have heard. And then there are these interesting words about how God's law, God's Torah, will not just be something outside of us, of God's people, but it will be internalized. It will be at the heart of each person and at the heart of God's people together. In fact, if you were listening, it says that I will write my Torah, that's the word in Greek, my law, but it's more than just, you know, kind of legal framework. I will write it on the human heart. Alexander Mack didn't have those words on his symbol. What does that mean? Did God literally engrave it upon each and every heart? No. Did it simply mean that God's people would have God's law memorized? How many people have the first five books of the Bible memorized? How many people have our church constitution and bylaws memorized? Not even you, Grace? Living out The law is not just simply about acting them out to the letter, is it? Getting at the heart of what the law is all about, however, is a different matter. You know, I don't know if you've been paying attention to what happened in Afghanistan with that soldier, one of our own, who massacred so many people. I don't know how what you feel about that and all, but it's interesting to note how differently we approach that. In Islam, justice is very, very important, as really it is in Judaism and in Christianity as well. But whereas Christians have a habit of moving towards forgiveness fairly quickly, in Muslim society, justice is extremely important. And right now, we're running into that, as you know, this soldier did not face justice in that country, but is back here. And I don't want to determine what will happen, you know, because I don't know what the right course is. I'm not the one to decide such things. But just making note of those differences is important. We talk in our faith about how justice and peace are things that fit together. In fact, it was another prophet who spoke about them as kissing. They're kissing cousins. They need to happen. When we get to the heart of things, that's where these two collide. And sometimes they do. Having things at heart doesn't mean that we've got it all fit together perfectly. We can be heartfelt in our faith and still stumble. But God is at work, sowing the seeds of newness into God's people. God is sowing into you and I. God is sowing into this world the seed of justice, the seed of peace, the seed of the gospel. And it needs to grow within. There was another part of Alexander Mack's symbol. And that is this. What does that represent? Anyone? What? Why? Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that. Yes, we are going to be celebrating communion. We're thinking about how, you know, that is symbolic of blood. You know, when we drink wine together on our knees. Now, I wasn't even thinking about going from there, but that's where you went first. What I was thinking of, and I thought that what Alexander Mack was that faith needs to grow fruit. We need to bear fruit, which is evidence of growth within. If something is at the heart of who we are, it needs to not stay there. It begins like a seed within, but it moves out. And there needs to be growth. We need to bear fruit, which is evidence of God being at work within us. Of course, sometimes that growth is painful. Sometimes our hearts are broken, in fact, along the way of our becoming who we were intended to be. Jesus spoke about how a seed needs to be sown into the ground, and in fact talked about in a sense, dying. The ultimate in brokenness. That out of that seed may grow something new. Lent is seed sowing time, friends. Lent is time to become aware of God's broken heart and how Jesus, who is at the heart of God's good news, was himself broken upon the cross. But like that seed, it bore fruit. It was not easy. It is not easy for us in this life. I wish I could say, well, if only you would just do this, then this will happen. But that's not how it is. We die and rise with Christ daily. Daily. Take this symbol with you into your life. Having God's Word, which is not just a list of do's and don'ts, but a voice that speaks. Take this into your world this week. We can only do one day at a time. We can only do, in fact, sometimes, only one step at a time. But allow that seed to enter into the center of who you are and to walk with you throughout your day. Think about the heart of the matter and seek to bear fruit.